Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust in Solihull, England. Today we are beginning a new series of messages entitled Pictures of Jesus from John's Gospel, and we shall be taking one picture from each chapter. Today we are looking in chapter 1, where we see Jesus as the Logos, the Word, the Divine Son of God. Each week we shall take a new picture from a new chapter of John's Gospel. Because they uplift the Lord Jesus, we are sure you will find these messages are a help and a blessing to you. Maurice Payne is the speaker. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and Singers. If this programme is a blessing to you, please write to us. Before today's message, I want to tell you about our Break and Meditate booklet of short daily readings based on a verse or part verse from the Bible. And people from all walks of life have written to tell us the blessing they have been. They are quite short, and I have asked Hilary to read one of them to you.
Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 20, verse 31. Jesus is the centre of the Bible, and the beginning and the end of the Christian faith. Much clutter has accumulated to obscure this truth over the years. Jesus is anointed of God to be our Saviour. Son of God, he became the Son of Man and lived and died to save us. Not everybody would be saved, though it is to be proclaimed to all men. There must be a response to God's love, an acceptance of the divine invitation. Read John's Gospel, and there see it was written and is preserved all these years that the reader may stretch out in faith, calling on God for mercy and forgiveness, and then making Jesus Lord. Believing is your response to God's giving you the Bible.
Break and Meditate booklets are sent quite free of charge. Write or email us with your address today and we'll see you get a copy. Stay tuned as Maurice Payne speaks to you.
There are many pictures of Jesus in John's Gospel. And in these programmes, we're going to limit ourselves to one picture from each chapter. This will make a very incomplete list, and we'll look at what might be considered to be the most outstanding portrait from each chapter. And perhaps viewing just one picture will encourage you to turn to the Bible for yourself and look at the exhibition God gives us in John's Gospel. John's Gospel begins, "In the beginning was the Word." This is like a fanfare of trumpets that introduces the arrival of a great procession, or like a triumphal arch through which we enter the palace of a king. Now understand and appreciate what John is saying in his first chapter, and you will be keen to read on to see what picture is to be found next. Indeed, the first portrait in the first chapter of John's Gospel is so glorious that you're made to wonder what further glory there is to follow. The first chapter of John is like a prologue, but a prologue that all must read. Don't go any further until you've understood this. It prepares us for an introduction to the person and ministry of John the Baptist. Genealogies and early years of Jesus are left to the other gospel writers. In place of their lists of names and events in Christ's early years, John shows us a first picture from his gallery that we must take time to appreciate. The treatment of his subject from the beginning of his gospel and throughout distinguish his presentation from that of the other three gospel writers. His opening announcement in the beginning is more than once upon a time, you know. Those are the words you had in children's stories, aren't they? That phrase certainly takes us back a long time, but in John's case, in the beginning, it takes us back to a point long before the events he's about to relate. Indeed, before time began. We can only project our imagination to that time when all that we know and see of the world around us began. Your memory will only take you to events that took place once your life began. My earliest recollection is of falling off a high wall when on holiday at the seaside, and I can remember screaming when I was taken to hospital. You no doubt have memories from early years. But John's gospel goes back before time began. That beginning time to which the opening of John's gospel takes us is something we need to know and accept. It's a time that even Adam couldn't remember, for he, as all of us, had a beginning, whereas John is taking us to the situation as it existed at the beginning. Listen again as Hilary reads the first verse.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The Bible begins, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And John begins his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word." So the same opening verse we read, "The Word was God." Now in this program today, we look at the characteristics of the Word, the Son of God, Jesus our Saviour, as described by John before he embarks upon the thrilling days of Christ's earthly ministry, culminating in his atoning death, his glorious resurrection, and triumphant ascension. The Word is the title John gives to the one about whom he is to write, because the gospel narrative that follows shows us how God communicates with man. God is not silent. In Jesus, we see him, hear him, and can know him. There are plenty of Bibles in the world, and the Word is not mere preaching. Any number of sermons in all kinds of church settings. No. The Word of God is that aspect of God that communicates, in our case, that communicates with us. Now, from his very beginning, man found God ready to communicate with him. First, we hear the Word, the spoken Word. God was communicating with man in speech, walking with Adam in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day.
In Genesis 3 verse 8 we read, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden."
God didn't wait until man could make some form of record, other than memory, before he spoke to him. God spoke to man in a way he could understand. Before man had the written word, God communicated through the spoken word, through his servants, the prophets. Then it was through the lives of godly men and women. And the Apostle Paul describes the Corinthians as believers in a letter.
You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2.
God came down to man in his frailty and weakness and did something for him. He provided skins to cover Adam and Eve when, as a result of their disobedience, they became aware of their nakedness and shame. And that provision carried on throughout the Old Testament in the Law and the Prophets, preparing him for the advent of his Son, our Saviour, Jesus. God communicates. He has spoken in the past, and when he speaks to us now, we should make it our business to seek to understand what he's saying. In Christ, there is all to seek and all to find, true love, life, and lasting joy. And in order that his readers may have no doubt about this, John introduces his subject. Now let's look very carefully at the opening verses of this gospel. Listen again to the first verse.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The beginning, everlasting, knowing neither beginning nor end. With God, party to all that went on in planning and execution. The Word was God, yes, absolute deity, God of very God, as one version says. Then, as though to annul any idea that the Son of God, the Word, was an addition or late arrival, John adds,
He was with God in the beginning.
No decision was taken without him. And then the next verse.
Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made.
He was co-architect in the great cosmic launch that we describe as the creation, recorded for us in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. He made everything. You cannot find anything that he did not make.
Verse 4, in him was life. And that life was the light of men.
No need to seek further for the origin of life. It is Christ, the Word. All who struggle in the darkness of life should know that Jesus is the light of men.
John 1:5 says, The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
The emancipating truth that John is about to unfold, though his light is not appreciated. Now we need to look further at the life that is in Christ. Life is the essential and all-pervading part of existence. Without mortal life, beings become objects. Here John is saying that life doesn't exist in its own right. It owes its existence to God in Christ. Men live and move and have their being because the Word, the divine Lord, has granted this to them. As we read in the book of Hebrews, he sustains all things by his powerful Word.
The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful Word. Chapter 1, verse 3.
Our existence, you know, is only at God's permission. We forget that. That life that is in the Word is the light of men. This truth refutes any suggestion that our life is self-sufficient. Man cannot manage without God, though he may ignore his Word and deny his person. And then, the light shines in darkness. John's announcement that the light shines in darkness heralds the wonderful life and ministry he's about to relate. In everything he said, wherever he went, to all whom he met, Jesus was the light of men and the light of the world shining in darkness. And it's the same today. Where Jesus goes, the light shines through. The disciples, in this gospel, see water made wine at the wedding in Cana. A Samaritan woman listens with incredulity as the stranger talks about the thirst-quenching water he offers. A man who has lain paralyzed 38 years hears the voice of the Son of God, and on each of these occasions, it's the light shining in the darkness. Why this darkness? Why sorrow and suffering? Why sin and deprivation? Why do evil men seem to prosper and the innocent suffer? Well, these questions arise out of our experience of the darkness in which we find ourselves. The opening sentences of the Bible assure us that God created the heaven and the earth, and then immediately tell us that darkness was over the face of the deep. Great spiritual darkness entered further when Eve was tempted and Adam sinned. Darkness, both physical and spiritual, is a fact of life borne out today. In crime rates in our cities, in wars breaking out across the earth, and the wickedness in the heart of men everywhere. Well now, consider the glorious message of the gospel that John's about to unfold. The Word, the divine Son of God, shines in the darkness. But while we may not understand or like the darkness, we can look for the light. And as always happens, the more intense the darkness, the brighter the light. See the light of hope. John in his gospel is about to describe the light of hope shining in the lives of the nobleman's son, of a man born blind, whom he healed, Lazarus and his sisters, as Jesus shone his divine light into their situations. Why has not the darkness understood the divine light of the Word that shone? John prefaces the greatest story ever told with the sad fact that the darkness of sin and disobedience in which man dwelt did not understand what was happening when the true light appeared. Darkness is the opposite of light. It originated after the original creation of the heaven and earth, and we can only think it must be brought about by sin and pride, such as we know the fallen angel, the anointed cherub, exhibited and was thrown out of heaven to become the devil, who with his fallen fiends seeks to thwart the plan of God in general and mankind in particular. And so the second sentence in the Bible says darkness was over the face of the deep. Later, in the Garden of Eden, when man partook of the forbidden fruit, we can see that he died spiritually. When we come into the New Testament, we see a description of the unregenerate man as dead in transgression.
As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. Ephesians 2, verse 1.
And then, later, man died physically. Death means insensitivity. It is only to be expected then that darkness did not understand the light that was shining through Christ. Now in the 10th verse of the first chapter, John enlarges upon failure to understand when, referring to Jesus, the living Word, he says, the world did not recognize him. Now listen to the 11th verse.
He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him.
The Israelites, who should be looking for their Messiah, didn't receive him. So these relate to the divine Son of God as John pictures him to us. He wasn't understood, he wasn't recognized, and he was not received. The Word gives light to every man that comes into the world.
The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 14.
It's a marvellous revelation when you see Jesus, when you recognise and know who he is and receive him and know the blessing he gives. That's the glory shining through into your darkened heart. And John at once, reverting to the glory that shone through the Word made flesh. This glory broke through on the Mount of Transfiguration when the three chosen disciples, Peter, James and John, saw the raiment of Jesus glistening whiter than anything they had known. Yet that glory had been manifested much earlier when the shepherds listened to the angelic choir, when the wise men followed their guiding star, and the teachers were astounded as they talked with the 12-year-old boy Jesus in the temple. It was revealed to his disciples at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. John said Jesus showed forth his glory to them on the occasion that first miracle was performed. John the Baptist bore testimony to the divinity of Christ. You may remember, he pointed to the crowd who stood on the bank of Jordan and cried, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And after he'd baptized Jesus in Jordan, John saw the Spirit as a dove descend upon him, because it had been revealed to him who this was. And he was able to say, "I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." And the first confession of this was left to Nathanael, whom Philip brought to Jesus. Now listen to this incident in this first chapter of John's Gospel. These are verses 44 through to 49.
Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel."
That was a wonderful experience. And that's a wonderful experience that's repeated again and again, as men and women, boys and girls, have been able to say, as they saw Jesus, "You are the Son of God." And here, right in the first chapter of his Gospel, John is telling us and reminding us that we are able to make this great discovery. John leaves us in no doubt. He wants his readers to know that Christ is God, and then, having that glorious truth in mind, to proceed to read the account he unfolds in his Gospel. Now, you cannot properly understand this Gospel of John unless you understand and know and receive Jesus as your own Saviour and Lord. Not only the Lord, but my Lord, one in whom you've put your trust, one to whom you called upon for salvation, for the cleansing of sin and defilement, for the gift of his eternal life. In John's Gospel, we see a procession of individual portraits of Jesus. There's Jesus on every page. Wherever you turn, it's Jesus. It's the Lord you want. Whatever your need, whatever the dilemma and distress in which you find yourself, wherever there's failure, wherever there's sorrow and distress, disease and anxiety, it's Jesus. Many years later, the Apostle Paul was able to say, "My God shall supply all your need." And that's just what the Lord wants to do. To you today, open your heart to him. Cry out to him for mercy. In faith, come to him, expecting to believe. Come to him, expecting to receive something, and he'll give you and satisfy all you need. You will know him to be the divine Son of God. And like Nathanael, you'll be able to fall down and worship him.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23, 2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page. And now listen to Peter Jackson and Singers as they sing, "Every day when you pray, say Father."
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.